Kadri. Ishmael would be joining us, always kind enough to join us here on the program, which we always love. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Kadri Ishmael. You can catch the pre- and post-game Purple pregame show, pre- and post-game, on WJZ 13. Q, how you doing, my man?
I am excellent. Doing well. All is well in the land they call Baltimore.
Yes. I saw your tweet when you retweeted. I forgot what it was. Some dude really excited. Is that what the Ravens are feeling right now? A hell of an excitement because of the acquisition of Marcus Peters?
You know, I think part of the tweet was Rex Chapman does an amazing job of finding these videos that say, you know, is it a block or a charge?
Right, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes he'll put another caption on there and off it goes. Well, you know, this one was of a guy jumping off of a high-rise building and had another guy with him, threw the other guy down.
Oh, that's right.
So you think, right. Oh, my God, he's going to pummel to his death. And sure enough, he comes out of it and he puts over his parachute and off he goes. I think for the Baltimore Ravens, why it reminded me of why they traded for Marcus Peters is because, you know, when you look at the offense, they're churning along extremely well. But defensively, they have some issues. They have some issues as far as getting to the passer. And I think at the same time on the back end of things, because Jimmy Smith went out in week one with a knee injury, they really struggled to, you know, really have a kind of good continuity of consistency. And that's where I think for Eric DaCosta, it made sense to give up a draft choice, a fifth rounder for Kenny Young and ship him off to get Marcus Peters.
Now, is this a rent-a-player, do you think, or is this something that they're going to stay with? Do you think they're going to sign him to a long-term deal?
I'm not exactly sure. I think a lot of that depends on Marcus regarding his talent on the field and showing up. I think the Ravens really, you know, they're the type of team that will sign guys and, you know, they're kind of shrewd about it. But if it makes sense for both parties, then they would. But a lot of that depends upon Marcus, you know, getting caught up to speed as far as what Wink Martindale wants to do defensively as a defensive coordinator and him putting into his defense. And, you know, I think it can go from there.
Now, here's the one thing that I thought of right away. Here's a cat that is in his – this is the last year of his rookie deal. And so we're talking about a guy that's already been on three teams, Kansas City, the Rams, and now the Ravens. And it's odd that a kid that's this talented would be on three teams in 5 years. But then I thought about the guy he's replacing. And since I'm a draftnik, I remember when Jimmy Smith was coming out of Colorado, my man had a ton of baggage. Now – he was walking into a locker room with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Suggs. And so you can put some of those guys that might bring some baggage in a locker room like that because they will police him. How is that locker room now that those cats aren't there? And is there that policing of that locker room that maybe you could help Marcus Peters kind of find his way a little bit more so he can actually stay somewhere and build a career? Because you know it. Remember, Jimmy Smith came in with a ton of baggage, and he's been a great citizen overall. He's grown up there.
Yeah, you know, and unfortunately, he's had some baggage still. But you're right. I think the Ravens have done a really good job as far as supporting Jimmy and getting him to, you know, continue to mature as a young man and now as a man. And I think for Marcus Peters, not exactly sure if it's locker room related or if it's off the field related. Obviously, when you're in Kansas City and they're picking you as a stud guy and you show up and make a ton of plays and then all of a sudden you get, you know, to the Rams and, you know, you made some plays, but you obviously are not playing as well as you know, want to play or feel like you're capable of playing, I think there's going to be those red flags there to kind of figure out what's going on, you know, for your career. So hopefully he gets the message that, look, you know what, I got to play, I got to produce. The locker room is a very strong locker room when it comes to, you know, holding one another accountable. And I'm sure, you know, he's going to figure out who's who in the zoo and I'm hoping that, you know, he can be a good fit for what they like to do.
I was being nice with Jimmy because, you know, considering the baggage he came in with, most people didn't even give him much of a shot to survive in the NFL. I think he's, you know, considering he's been able to last this long, I think the Ravens did a phenomenal job with him because he came in with some serious baggage.
Yeah, no, I mean, Jimmy's had his moments, and like I said, you know, he's even had his moments here in Baltimore too, but I think overall he's done, you know, really a good job of recognizing. It's one thing, you know, for people just to, you know, throw out terms of, oh, he has baggage, or he's a trouble guy, or whatever. It's whether or not that guy has the support to overcome it. And I think it's imperative on them to recognize that, you know, they have to take ownership of it. And I think that's what Jimmy has done and why he's still, you know, part of the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, we're talking with Qadri Ismail, of course, former Ravens wide receiver and Miami Dolphins wide receiver. You can follow him on Twitter at Qadri Ismail. Qadri, what do you think this is going to do? Because we know Humphrey's a badass. So is this Peters thing going to settle that position now? Is that something that you feel will also help the pass rush too, if you have those two guys back there that can lock some people down?
I think that's the plan. You know, I know if you look at the upcoming weeks, you know, there are going to be some teams that are going to be testing the Ravens secondary. They've given up a ton of big plays. First time in team history, back-to-back games where they've given up over 500 yards of offense, and I think that's just unacceptable. With that said, you know, he definitely brings an instant, you know, level of talent upgrade, a level of depth that they so sorely need because of the injury to Jimmy Smith. And I think even with today's offense, it's not just about, you know, just having two guys on the outside, but it's having, you know, a guy that can play in the slot, a guy that can, you know, go up against your third and fourth receivers as well, because you do so much as far as offense is spreading it out and forcing defenses out of their comfort zone. So hopefully this will be a strong perk for what the Ravens are needing to do. And I think if he can be, look, you know, the AFC North, it's certainly theirs for the taking. And if you can get into the playoffs, I would bet my money on John Harbaugh when they take teams into the playoffs, because they're such a tough team to prepare for and play for.
Now, Q, how's the Lamar Jackson performance going with you in your eyes? How are you seeing his development as a quarterback?
I think he's done outstanding. I think in terms of his play right off the bat, you saw it in training camp, but, you know, when he played against Miami, there was just so many good things there that you saw as a quarterback and not just a guy that's just ready to take off and run. And I credit, you know, Greg Roman for putting him in a position to have a strong comfort zone as far as what he likes to do, the different plays, formations, all of that. And this week, you know, it was weird. Last week against the Steelers, he looked a little bit off, didn't necessarily go through his progressions and all that. And, you know, you were, you know, a little bit concerned because there were some turnovers there that, you know, I thought two were poorly judged by the referees. One, definitely, he should have, you know, kept, and so he winds up with three interceptions. But when you look at how he's played following that week against the Pittsburgh Steelers and what he did against the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, you're going against two division foes. It's always a tough battle. But, yeah, at the same time, you saw some really good things where he was actually going through his progression and getting guys involved in the offense. He didn't have Marquise Brown, who was his number one threat. So it was really cool to see how, even without him, Lamar Jackson was just hitting on all cylinders to the point where made NFL history with running the football as well as throwing the football.
Well, that's the only thing that I have a concern with. I still don't know if he's going to be a great passer. I'm one of those guys that if you're not accurate, you're never going to be accurate. So that'll be a question mark for a while now. But I still need – he runs too much. And you will die in this league running. He's got to learn how to beat people more with his arm. And it's great to get 152 yards, whatever he got last week. But you and I know eventually eventually they're going to catch up to you, man. If they can break down Andrew Luck, if they can break down Cam Newton, they can easily break this kid down. And we saw RG3, once they caught up with him, he was never the same again. That's where I fear for Lamar, that I don't think he has a long shelf life if he's going to try to live on his legs.
I think, you know, what Greg Roman has done is put him in some really good positions to not be just run happy. And I think he has progressed as a passer. I think he will continue to progress as a passer. You're absolutely right. You know, but if you look at, you know, what Steve Young has done, he was a running quarterback as well and a dual threat. And he was able to smarten up and recognize the balance, the delicate balance of when to run, when to kind of hold it. And then at the same time, if you try to rush him, if you try to get up the field, and I think that's where for Lamar, he's done a really good job of again, going through his progressions. You know, against the Miami Dolphins, I saw where easily he could have run. It was an all-out blitz, zero coverage. Yet at the same time, all he did was extend the play, not looking to run, but looking to extend the play, throws it to the back of the end zone for a score. You know, it's moments like that. I think he continues to progress, continues to grow. I think he recognizes that it's not all about running, but it's about smart running. It's about smart football. And I think if he can continue to do that, he's going to be fine.
I would imagine that he is one of those guys that's incredibly embraced in that locker room, because he is – I mean, he's the likable cat, man. I don't buy him as a quarterback yet, but I know that you want him to marry your daughter. I mean, that's the kind of kid that he is, because he's easy to root for. I would imagine that that locker room will go through walls for him.
Well, you know, they are 4-2. They're in the lead in their AFC division. When you look at what he came in and did last year, the team was left for dead after Joe Flacco goes down with a hip injury. Leads him into the playoffs. We see how he, you know, brings everyone up when it comes to just what they're trying to do offensively, and even gives the defense life and hope. And I think, I'm a Lamar Jackson fan. I think that what we've seen so far is the real deal. And I think that he's only going to get better. You know, I put him in, you know, high praise because of his work ethic and his desire to compete and win, and you're absolutely right. He has the charismatic it factor when it comes to just what the guys around him think about him.
Qadri Ishmael joining us, and of course, Qadri has the pre and post game purple pre and post game show on WJZ 13. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, like I and so many others do, at Qadri Ishmael. Overall, how potent is this team offensively to make an impact in the playoffs? If they get there, which I think we expect them to be a playoff team once again, Q, how ready are they to maybe make a deep run in this AFC conference?
Yeah, you know, I think one thing is sitting right in front of them, the Seattle Seahawks at Seattle, and then obviously playing the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football. So both teams, and then they also got the Texans coming up in after they play against the Bengals. So there are going to be some tests the next few weeks to see if this is an upper-tier football team. Offensively, though, they're the number one offense regarding yards, it's regarding plays. And at the same time, I think they're second right now in points per game. So they're putting up a lot of points. They're being very productive as far as yards are concerned. I think that this is an offense that absolutely is built to go far. I think these next few weeks against these better football teams, they'll need to play cleaner, clearly, but I think that they're putting themselves in a really good position.
Q, you mentioned Russell Wilson, and since we're talking about Lamar running, what is it about Russell Wilson? What is it about Emmitt Smith? You know, there are certain cats over the years that you look at, and I probably am going to jinx Russell Wilson now, but you rarely get a clean shot on those kind of guys. What is that gift that very few NFL players have that they're able to avoid some major contact in a game that's almost impossible to avoid major contact? And how, and what does, what can Lamar learn from a guy like Russell Wilson? Because Russell has that magic that he knows how to run, when to run, and how to not get hit. And I don't know how he does it, because I just told you about RG3. He didn't have that magic, and that's why he's no longer, you know, maybe having the same kind of success in this league. What is it? How do they have that it factor of that? I don't know. You tell me.
Well, he's the highest paid quarterback, highest paid player. So whatever Seattle has done to figure out how to, you know, put money into his pocket and be the ultimate franchise quarterback is that it factor. I think part of it is just, you know, your football intelligence, your football IQ. You know, people talk about when you prepare for the game and you're looking at film and all that. It's one thing to look at film. It's another thing to translate it over right away in moment to moment, play to play, series to series. And I think that for what Russell has done, he's just recognized just the game has slowed down for him. I think that ultimately what it comes down to, and he absolutely knows how to make plays and has that good escapability. You know, that's what it ultimately comes down to for him and why he has, you know, progressed to the upper tier in the conversation of all the other, you know, upper tier quarterbacks when it comes to Brady, Breeze, you know, Rodgers, and clearly he's in that, you know, next breath. You know, Russell Wilson is right up there with him.
Yeah, it really is impressive. Follow my man Q on Twitter at Qadri Ismail Q. As always, thank you for taking some time and dropping the knowledge, man. You are the best.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on as always, bro.
You got it, baby. You're a stud. There you go. Qadri Ismail, man. Good stuff there as always, as Marcus Peters is now a Raven. That is, that's a hell of a move for them. Again, a kid that's got, you know, he's got some, it's not like he's a criminal or anything, but seems like there are some issues there because it's three teams now in 5 years. It's crazy, dude.
That's a lot.
That's way too much. That's way too much. And the Chiefs are a good organization overall. Pretty good team to have to get traded away from. Now the Rams, pretty good situation. You're getting traded away, and you're going to another good situation with the Ravens. I mean, how many more can you be at?
I was just going to say.
And they didn't trade much. So this could be just a rent-a-player, and then they draft somebody in the offseason to take over and be opposite of Marlon Humphrey, because Marlon Humphrey is just one of the best in the league. I mean, that guy's Peanut Tillman.
Yes.
He's the...
The way he runs in and punches that out. Ball out.
Well, yeah, that's his idol, by the way. Peanut is his idol.
You know what? That's not a bad guy to make your idol. I mean
he plays
he was
just
a
like him.
Ball hawk.
Yeah, he plays just like him.
It's not your ball. It's my ball.
Yeah, that's it's a gift, and he's really good at it. So they need to get that other guy.